You know Jack Cornish well?
Yeah, I worked with him for 3 years.
He's having an affair with Tara Faulkner.
Peter Faulkner's wife?
It's all kicking off in there.
DC Gray is your right-hand man in Hathaway's absence.
I'm going on holiday for a week. I'm not joining the Foreign Legion.
Mr. Strictly was in that coffin. I put him in it.
Why would anyone steal a body?
Why, indeed? It's nothing to do with us.
He was poisoned.
Formaldehyde.
Embalming fluid.
999, ambulance!
Come on, son. Stay with me.
Lewis tries to revive Liam. Kevin Whateley. Lawrence Fox. Lewis. Brown-haired, 20-ish Liam lies unconscious on a hospital bed. He's hooked up to monitors and a ventilator. Detective Constable Gray sits on a chair outside Liam's room as Lewis comes through a set of doors.
He's not been here all night.
Just got here. I thought maybe he'd be up to talking, but...
They've sedated him. He won't be saying anything at all for now.
When I asked, they wouldn't tell me anything.
You've not got the knack yet. It'll come.
This story, The Ramblin' Boy. Ruth and Amy come out of a college building and walk across the quad.
Liam always picks up straight away, but I've texted him and left messages.
Oh, he'll be back.
He said he was going to do something, the police or something. He's so messed up.
You all right, ladies?
Yes, thanks.
Ruth?
Fine, thanks. Just feeling a bit fragile.
Emma smiles and walks on towards the building, but glances back at them. Claire Holman, Rebecca Front. Ruth, looking a little unsteady on her feet, walks along a towpath towards her houseboat. She lifts up a square section of the roof, then pulls open the doors. Emma quietly watches from among some trees as Ruth climbs into the boat. Tom Brooke, Babu Cisse, Peter Davison, Camilla Power, Leah Williams. Lewis sits on a bench outside the hospital. Gray sits down beside him, takes an electronic cigarette from his pocket and sucks on it.
What the hell?
It's not real, sir. Electronic.
Right.
Trying to kick the habit, sir. Sorry.
He sucks again and blows out smoke.
So you think it was someone trying to shut Liam up, sir?
Try to kill him? Usually has that effect.
So he might know who stole the body from the undertakers?
Yeah, or who they cremated in its place. Or you might know something about Dr. Whitby's murder.
I'll try and trace his next of kin, sir.
And his girlfriend.
Well, if she's not a relative.
Don't want him waking up on his own. He's only a lad.
Lewis walks off. Music composed and conducted by Barrington Falloon. Blonde-haired Tara Faulkner sits on garden furniture sipping white wine outside elegant Corby Mance. Balding, fair-haired Peter comes out.
Have you got plans for today?
Thought I'd go to lunch with my brother.
Oh, for God's sake.
Inspired by the Inspector Morse novels of Colin Dexter. Screenplay by Lucy Gannon. Lewis with Louise.
We haven't been able to speak to Jack. Well, we don't know where he is. But I think he might have stumbled across some criminal activity.
Who wouldn't he have reported it?
No, it's just a theory.
He always said that whatever you did, you had to be part of a team, and you had to have your mates there backing you up. Oh. I can see it in your eyes. You think something terrible's happened.
No, listen, Pet, we don't know what's happened yet, but we will find out.
Produced by Chris Burt.
This is our first clear link between the stolen body at the Undertaker and the murder of Dr. Whitby.
So this is the night before Neil Strickley's funeral and three nights after the dinner party.
Yeah, this is the main street and this is Dr. Whitby. IT managed to clean it up a bit, but it took him 38 minutes to travel between the two cameras, about 300 yards.
So he was at Miller's for a good half an hour.
Yeah, enough time to take one body out of a coffin and put another one in its place. I've ordered a deep search of Whitby's house, see if we can work out what he was up to.
Directed by Daniel Reed.
How well do you know Liam, Jay?
Not at all. This is nothing to do with me, Inspector. Whatever's going on...
You lose a body. Someone in your employ is the last person to see a murder victim alive. The murder weapon is embalming fluid. Now somebody tries to kill Liam on your premises. Yes, Gray.
Ruth Wilson, yeah? Well, she's probably at the university. OK, well, when you do find her, take her straight to the hospital. And on the way, try and find out if she knows what it was that Liam was trying to tell us.
Lewis hangs up and glances back at Miller talking to a colleague. The tutorial room.
I apologise for not returning your essays. A close friend of mine has died. And it's rather thrown my routine. Unexpectedly. One lectures about life-changing events, but when it actually... Come in.
Grey.
Ah. The police have arrived. Is this a bust officer?
Ruth Wilson?
Not with this group, I'm afraid.
Does anyone know where she is?
And you have a right to that information because...
Just tell her that her boyfriend's in a critical condition. She needs to call us. Thank you.
Where is he? Which hospital? What's happened to him? He's one of my students. Or was. If something's...
I'm sorry, I can't give any information. You were at Corby Mann's, the night of the dinner party.
What's happened to Liam?
How well do you know him?
He's my student.
But he was there that night, wasn't he?
Yes. Him and his father.
If it wasn't for DC Gray here, we still wouldn't know anything about Johnny J, would we?
It was an oversight. Good God.
Yeah, of course it was. You know, the more I investigate who was in the coffin at Mrs. Strickley's funeral, the more involved you seem to be.
I remembered the waiters. I forgot about Johnny J. He was always there, like the wallpaper. It was an oversight.
So how do I get in touch with him?
No idea. He was a drinker. He falls off the wagon from time to time and vanishes. He was stinking of booze all through the party. I doubt if you remember anything about it.
So you have no idea where he might be?
Rat-arsed in a bar somewhere.
That was very helpful, sir. Thank you. Oh, look. Your ferret's not doing very well. Losing his teeth.
Stuffed animals. Outside with Tara.
The young lad who waited on you that night is fighting for his life in intensive care. I'm getting very tired of secrets. I need to know where you and Jack Cornish went that evening. After your party, the evening of the 17th.
Jack's flat. The next morning we drove to the Lake District.
Why there?
My aunt has a cottage. It's empty. I know where she keeps the key.
Did anybody see you arrive?
Nope. We stayed for one night and that was it. It wasn't my handsome prince after all. Just another frog. I went to Barcelona.
Not Croatia?
Oh, God, no. It's not my idea of relaxation. I've no idea where he went. Really, I've no idea.
Sir, found in Dr. Whitby's bedroom, sir.
Letters in forensics bags.
Who are they from? Unsigned.
No clues on the envelope, sir, and just two sets of fingerprints. One's Whitby, and the other's not known.
There's no doubt. Three tests and all positive. You need to deal with this. I don't want to cause you embarrassment, but I will if I have to. You have to acknowledge this child.
Emma sits at a table reading a book outside a cafe. She looks over at a nearby table where a pregnant woman is opening gifts of baby things given to her by a couple of friends.
Oh, another one dated 3 months ago. Beautiful little girl, perfect, never breathed.
Emma gazes at the mum-to-be who pulls the hood down on a teddy bear.
Stillborn baby. Whitby was obviously worse than useless. Tell them to keep searching his house, his car, everything. No stone unturned.
When your child is born dead, do you really head off and kill the father?
Maybe not, but he was killed. Maybe her grief and anger was motive enough. He's a cold fish, Whitby. We know from the CCTV that he was involved with a body swap.
You say that like it's an achievement. We still don't know why. Or who he swapped the body with?
First thing he said, get rid of it. I'll book you in.
And your baby was stillborn at the beginning of last year?
3 days after my 44th birthday. My perfect little last chance baby, Ellen Mary.
But you were still friendly with the father, with Dr. Whitby.
When he couldn't get a date with anyone else, he'd settle for me. He'd turn up usually unannounced, usually late, usually a bit pissed. How humiliating is that?
When was the last time you saw him?
Oh, that awful supper party. I told him I was... He'd gone down to the cellar to get more wine. I told him I was pregnant again. He laughed. Said he wasn't even sure Ellen ever existed. I slapped him.
And are you pregnant?
Emma, lips pursed, shakes her head.
I'm going to have a baby, though. I'm going to adopt.
Lewis walks with Hobson.
She'll be lucky. Single woman, mid-40s, with a history of recent child bereavement.
Yeah, wishful thinking.
She has an alibi for Matt Whitby's time of death?
Yeah, no way, really, of getting a hold of any embalming fluid.
So back to square one. Who was in the coffin?
Who killed Matt Whitby?
Who tried to kill Liam Jay?
What has Jack Cornish got to do with any of this?
Tell you one thing, I could murder a curry.
Ruth lies sleeping on the couch in her houseboat. A window on the bank side is open, and someone pours petrol out of a jerry can into the boat. Ruth sleeps on. Lewis and Hobson come to a large open pair of iron gates.
Oh, hang on. We've got a minute to make a little detour.
Is it the scenic route?
Mm-hmm. Ruth Wilson, she lives on a boat down here. Not been able to contact her all day, so she doesn't know about Liam yet.
Lewis climbs over a white wooden fence and holds out his hand to help Hobson. They walk down a steep incline to the footpath on the riverbank. Holding hands, they stroll along the riverside path.
Out of step.
That's a good sign, Alice.
Lewis grins, then his smile fades when he sees Amy's boat on fire. Lewis sprints towards the boat and tries to see through the windows as Hobson gets on her mobile.
Fire brigade, there's a fire on a boat near Luke Lane.
Lewis climbs into the boat, which has clouds of thick smoke pouring out of it. Hobson runs towards the boat and stares at the smoke billowing out. Lewis emerges, carrying Ruth in his arms, and lays her on the bank. She runs over to help him.
Someone attacked Liam to try and stop him talking to us. And then they tried to do the same thing to you.
But I don't know anything.
Liam didn't tell you anything. Maybe something about Neil Strickley's body going missing?
That day of the funeral, when Liam got to Miller's, the body was already in the coffin. He said he went to check the name tags, but Miller stopped him. Said he'd done all of that, said he'd come in early to get a head start.
And that was unusual. Was that all?
No. There was something else, but I don't know what it was. He was upset about something, kept saying it was too horrible.
You know Liam's dad?
Johnny, yeah.
Any idea where he might have gone?
No.
Off on a binge?
No. No, he was doing really well. He'd been sober for months.
Well, I was here yesterday. I took a phone call.
You overheard it.
Well, yes, but...
You knew I wanted to speak to Ruth Wilson. Who did you tell?
No one. Why would I? What interest is she to me?
The morning of the funeral that never was. Who identified Neil Strickley?
I've told you a dozen times.
Yeah, well, tell me again. And this time, tell me why you didn't want Liam Jay to see the body.
What?
Was it because you knew fine well that the body had been switched?
No. No.
Where were you between 9 and 10 last night?
What? Why?
Where were you?
There was a civic do. You can ask anyone.
And what time did you leave?
Midnight. I was on the top table. Why?
Someone tried to kill Ruth Wilson, Liam's girlfriend.
Why would I want to kill a student I barely know?
The Faulkners own 80% of your business. If Peter Faulkner asked you to do something, would you do it?
He doesn't give me orders. We're in equal partnership.
And friends.
Yes.
Emma walks down a corridor in the hospital. She pulls a curtain open and finds Ruth dressed and sitting on her bed, tying up her bootlace.
Dr. Barnes.
I came as soon as I heard.
That was... Thank you. You didn't have to.
What have they said? No long-term damage?
No, none.
Good. Well, home.
I've got a lift coming.
Oh, no need. I'm going back anyway, so...
Yo, Rudy. Home time. That body won't neck itself.
The last thing she should be doing in her condition is necking vodka.
I'm ready. They said I can see Liam later.
I've found a room for you. At the college, it's her post-grads. It's lovely.
No, it's all arranged. So I'm sorry. But thank you for coming.
Ruth, Amy and Claire leave. Lewis and Grey come into Innocent's office.
Socko's turned up some more interesting finds at Dr. Whitby's house, Mum.
Better late than never.
He was a vegetarian. Lifelong. Wouldn't have meat in his fridge, but under all his rubbish, two blood-stained plastic bags. But they're analysing them now.
Sneaky pork chop?
Maybe, but we're starting to see a few chinks of light now, Mum.
Like?
Well, Peter Faulkner reckons that Johnny J was drunk the night of the party. But according to Ruth Wilson, he's been sober for months. Now, if Johnny killed somebody that night...
Possibly Cornish.
Well, I think we can say probably now, Mum, and then went on to kill Dr. Whitby. I reckon it's possible he's hiding out at that Croatian farmhouse. I'm going to put through a call to Pristina.
Where's that?
Where we just happen to have a man twiddling his thumbs.
D.S. Hathaway's painting a wall.
Polizia? Polizia? Bang, bang?
Me, Polizia, yes. Bang, bang, no. Yawn, yawn.
Bang, bang! Bang, bang!
Young kids are helping him paint the wall, but he stops to answer his mobile phone.
Bang! Bang, bang! Bang.
You called, sir?
Ah, you're up. Great. What's the time difference?
About a century.
And you're in Pristina, yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
I need you to get down to the central nick.
Which is off.
Oh, hang on. Yeah. It's on the Luan Haradinaj.
However you say it.
Sir, I've got a very busy schedule.
Yeah, it won't take long.
I'm going to fax you a photo of Johnny J.
Who is?
A possible witness.
Well, possibly even a person of interest.
In what?
In an investigation. Keep up.
Or do you want me to interview him?
Well, just ask him a couple of questions. I'll also send you a few notes. Sort of summary of where we are so far.
Sir, I'm on holiday.
Yeah, it won't take long. We need to get to a farmhouse just outside Split.
Split?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called, isn't it? Yeah, that's right, Split.
You know Split's in another country?
Yeah, only recently. A
couple of 20 years ago, it was all one big happy family.
Sir?
Listen,
I'll clear it with Innocent, get you an extra couple of days.
I don't want an extra couple of days.
Oh, brilliant. No problem there.
Thanks for this. Appreciate it.
The kids surround Hathaway, pointing their fingers at him. At the uni, a party's going on. Claire and Amy stand near a window, drinks in their hands. Ruth is at another window, gazing outside. Emma watches from another building across the quad. Lewis and Hobson are sitting at a bar.
I didn't tell you to get stuffed.
Oh, it was there, in the subtext.
Are you okay?
They gave me a once-over at the hospital.
Yeah, no, not that, Robbie. You.
Yeah? You know me. I'm always all right.
Would you tell me if you weren't? All this funeral stuff was getting to you?
It's not.
Reminding you of Val? It didn't seem to get any easier, does it?
Well, that's it. It does. I was stood outside the Krem the other day watching that poor family in pieces and waiting for the pain. Val's slipping away.
Time's passing. There's nothing you can do about that. Doesn't mean that you can't.
Yeah, I know. First, it felt like a betrayal, but no. I'm just turning over the page on a new chapter.
Right.
She smiles and they sip their drinks. At the uni, Emma gazes out through her window and watches Amy and Ruth walk across the quad. They stop and exchange a few words, then hug, say their goodbyes, and head off in different directions. Emma keeps her eyes on Ruth, then turns away. Hathaway drives a small silver hatchback along a dirt road, passing a sign for Tugar. Later, Hathaway stares at a road map and tries to get his bearings.
Oh, I hate you, Robert Lewis.
He drives on through the countryside. In a farmyard, Hathaway walks past some chicks towards a dilapidated old stone house. He unfolds the picture of scowling, mean-looking Johnny Jay and looks at it, then walks up to the door of the house and tries to open it. Hathaway steps over to a window and tries to peer through the slats in the shutter. Behind him, the door opens and Jack Cornish looks out.
Well, well. Sergeant, don't tell me, I'll never forget a face. Hathaway.
Hathaway glances at the picture.
Have you got the lab report?
Oh, I thought you said Labrador.
Is asleep in a chair beside Liam's bed. Liam is still wired up to a monitor and has an oxygen tube under his nose, but is no longer connected to a ventilator. His eyes are open and he gazes at Ruth. Ruth slowly rouses and looks over at him, then sees that he's looking back at her.
Hey.
So you dumped me.
Last chance looming.
She kisses him. Lewis is in Innocent's office.
Well, that just about decides it, ma'am. Tara's alive, Jack's alive. The only person still missing from the 17th is Johnny Jay.
So he's the body in the coffin. Don't tell his son until we've got all the facts. What are we doing about Jack Cornish?
Refusing to come home.
Can't Hathaway interview him in situ, find out what he's doing there?
Cornish told Hathaway to put all his questions in writing, shut the door in his face.
And did he put the questions in writing?
Well, he's on holiday, ma'am.
Oh, for God's sake. So can we now stop pretending that Cornish is Dixon of Dock Green?
Yes, ma'am.
So you were told to meet your father at the Undertaker's in the evening. You didn't think that was odd?
Well, when your dad's Johnny Jay, you sort of get used to weird stuff.
And you're sure the message was from him?
Yeah. The text alerts, whiskey in the jar. I'll show you.
You didn't have a phone when we found you. So when you got there, what happened?
I remember all the breath going out to me, then nothing. Have you heard from my dad? Why isn't he here?
We don't know where he is, son. I'm sorry.
But the text...
Could we talk about Dr. Whitby again?
He was great, Dr. Whitby. He's the only one who listened.
That's why you went to see him the night he died? To talk to him? Tell me why you went, Liam. Why was it so urgent?
He gives me diazepam ever since my mum died. My dad went to pieces, so I was all alone. Dr. Whitby, he helped me.
By getting you hooked on prescription drugs? And the night he died?
I'd run out of pills. He got me some more.
Something you're not telling me, isn't there?
No.
In the city mortuary, Lewis holds a couple of takeout coffees and knocks on Hobson's window. She looks round and he holds up the coffees. She comes out to him.
Thanks. Heartless attacking two kids, eh?
Well, I can't see who'd want to. Nice kids, too. Hard-working lad. Do anything to earn anything.
A thought hits him.
Should I be getting on with something?
Repatriation. Miller brings bodies back from abroad. Expats, people who've died on their holidays. Well, just in time, Hathaway. Morning, Sergeant.
No, Hardy is reading Road Times in Serbo-Croat.
I had a weekend in Wales once.
It's amusing, sir. I popped into the police station.
Any of them speak English?
Yeah, better than I speak Serbo-Croat, fortunately. They came round straight away. They've been watching the place for months.
Just looking for an excuse.
Here, I'm going to put you on loudspeaker. Laura Hobson's here, so mind your language.
Morning.
Hello, James. You having a good time?
Yeah, can we do all that when he gets back?
Crystal mess, sir. The farmhouse is a crystal mess factory.
Well, well. No wonder the Faulkners have such big, fat bank balances.
Yeah, they ship the stuff all over Europe.
So, where's Cornish now?
rotting in some Serbo Croat cell?
Vanished. 10 minutes after he saw me, probably.
Right, I'll make sure we put a watch on all the airports and ferries.
You ever tried one of these electronic cigarettes?
Sorry?
Help you give up the habit? You ever tried one?
No.
Well, you should.
Hathaway throws his cigarette on the ground.
How much crystal meth do you reckon you could hide in a coffin?
Brian and Beverly Miller look on as their premises and hearses are searched by police officers and sniffer dogs.
Yeah, let's start off with funerals for expats, shall we?
You won't find anything wrong there.
We've got a private ambulance, a coffin, all the way from the Costa del Sol, and the cremation itself for £3,000? Seems very reasonable. How do you manage to do it that cheap?
Well, by bringing them over land. That's what makes it cheap, isn't it, Brian?
Cheaper than a flight, and couriers, and insurance, and...
Do you want to fetch your jacket?
Sir.
Crystals, sir. Only traces, but they've gone for analysis.
Crystals as in crystal meth?
You bastard! You lying bastard! I knew there was something wrong! I knew it! You crooked little finger at you, did you?
Take him in. Might do him good to stare at four walls for a while, think about life. I'll get round to him later.
That's the hard stuff, isn't it? He was also against drugs.
Well, he was against a lot of things. Methamphetamine. More addictive than heroin. Cheap to make, just cruel stuff.
And you're sure that he's involved? God. Well, at least I know he's alive. He's not fleeing or some sort of midlife madness. He's not sick or dead. He just doesn't want me.
He's a stupid man, Lou. He'll look back and regret this.
What am I going to tell the boys? I'm not a single parent, Robbie. How am I going to stop being half a couple?
You'll get there.
Well, I'm never going to love anyone again, I know that much.
Lewis and Hobson are on a stone footbridge.
Jack Cornish didn't just fall into drugs, did he? Through poverty or a chaotic life. He walked in with his eyes wide open, knowing people are going to die, lives are going to be ruined. And he just didn't care.
Well, you'll put a stop to that.
Well, close the factory. Still got Neil Faulkner and his mate.
You will.
When I do, do you fancy a ride one night after work?
A ride? What?
I mean a bike ride. There's a bike hire shop.
Robbie, you on a bike?
Hmm.
Grinning, Lewis holds his arms around her waist. In one of the student rooms at college, Emma arranges some flowers in a small glass vase, then takes a greeting card out of an envelope, reads what's inside, and stands it upright beside the vase. From a bag, she takes out some provisions, including a bottle of milk and a small kitchen knife. Ruth comes in and looks surprised to see her.
Dr. Barnes.
Welcome to your new home. You can't sleep on someone's sofa forever.
You got me this room.
I spoke to the accommodation office, yes. Now, tea? Coffee?
They didn't just transport and smuggle the stuff, Mom. They made it, too, cutting out the middleman, making them all extremely rich.
Just crystal meth?
Yeah, we've traced 3 bank accounts, all in various names, but all leading back to Dr. Matt Whitby, with large sums deposited every month or so. Then the next day, the money's transferred out abroad. We lose sight of it.
And the Faulkners?
They're 2 separate accounts, both emptied regularly, just like Whitby's. Excuse me. Can you spare a minute, Mum?
Having read the text, Lewis follows Innocent out of the office and down the stairs towards the reception area. Lewis glances round and sees Jack Cornish being brought into the police station. Cornish spots Lewis and the two men exchange a look. Then Cornish walks through a doorway and Lewis carries on down a corridor. Emma and Ruth are in the student room.
I should probably get some sleep. The doctor said I should rest.
Yes, of course. It's all right. I know. I know everything. And I'll help you. I mean, I can do more than help. I can take the whole problem out of your hands if that's what you want. My baby died. Our baby Matt and me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you all right?
And you can see her whenever you like. Or never, if you like.
Did you set fire to my boat?
No. Now, don't upset yourself. No, you mustn't upset yourself. Think of the baby.
Well, there is no baby.
Emma looked shocked.
You lost it?
No, I'm on the pill. I've never been pregnant.
Photos of the bloody freezer bags.
Turns out it's human blood, Mum, from two different people found in Matt Whitby's dustbin.
I don't...
The blood was on the outside of the bags.
Right.
And on the inside, crystal meth, Mum.
Yeah, if that's what they were smuggling. Where does the blood come into
that? Not just blood, Mum. Liver cells found on the outside of one bag. Bringing expats home to their loved ones. There's a little cursory check in customs, but nobody wants dogs scrambling all over a coffin, do they? Go outside for 5 minutes and have a pretend fag.
Grey goes.
They embalmed the bodies, Mum, so that if a customs officer was a bit too officious, the chemicals would put the dog up. The bags were smuggled in body cavities. They packed the corpses with drugs.
You were so happy and so excited, and that morning not feeling well. And they say it, don't they? They say blooming. And you were blooming. And then the row, and he was ruining your life. And I thought, oh, stupid, stupid me. I hoped.
Emma puts the knife in her bag and looks over at Ruth. Miller's interviewed.
6 repatriations this year. And every time you're asked to fetch some expat home for cremation, you give the Faulkners the details.
I want my solicitor.
Yeah, he's on his way. You travelled out to the body, they got the drugs to you in Spain or wherever, so you could do the surgery. Pretty gruesome branch of a pretty filthy trade.
Sir, the phone we found in Mr. Miller's desk. We charged it up.
Miller looks nervous as Lewis shows him the mobile.
How do you explain it? World Cup.
I've never seen it before.
Your prints are all over it. You sent Matt Whitby that text. You made it possible for the body swap. You're the linchpin of this smuggling ring. How many years do you reckon so far? Peter Faulkner made pretty damn sure that it'd be you ending up sitting in that seat talking to me, didn't he? Time to stop doing his bidding. Look after yourself.
Miller nods, then looks up at Lewis.
It was Johnny Jay in the coffin. He got drunk, took a lot of drugs. That's what he did. He was out of control. He had a heart attack.
Heart attack? They lied to you. You must realise that by now.
Results from Soko, sir.
Right. We'll leave you to think about things for a few minutes. Consider your future.
Grey puts the evidence in a plastic tub and leaves with Lewis. Innocence interviewing Cornish.
There comes a time when you have to accept that the game is up.
I went to Split on holiday, I stayed in a friend's house, and that's it.
Following the party at Corby Manse, why did you scurry off to Croatia?
Sex with Tara Faulkner, mostly.
She says she went to Barcelona.
She must have called in on the way back. No idea.
What were you running from? There was a fight after the dinner party, wasn't there?
Not as far as I know.
Why choose Croatia?
Why not? Sun, cheap wine.
And a crystal meth factory.
It's news to me. Look, I was just trying to get my head together after my marriage broke down. I blame the job, you know.
Inspector Lewis couldn't believe anything bad about you.
Robbie Lewis and the Ladybird Book of Policing.
We're making inquiries with the border agency, so we'll soon know where you went and when you went.
Border agency. You'll be lucky.
You know what happens to a police officer in prison.
That's why I'm not going there.
Ruth looks out of the window of her new room and watches Emma slowly walking away along a stone pathway and through an iron gateway. Tara is in an interview room with her solicitor as Lewis and Gray come in.
We've just had the findings from an examination of your house, Mrs. Faulkner. Blood, hair, scuff marks.
I don't know anything about that.
And we have a missing man. Luckily, we also have his son. So it should be easy to check the DNA. Who killed him, Tara? You or Peter?
No comment.
Brian Miller told your brother how to get into the funeral parlour. A clumsy code for 1966. You and I both know that forensics are going to tell us that Johnny Jay was killed in your house. A week later, your brother's dead. These things must be linked. We don't know why Johnny was killed yet, but we will find out.
Good. That's what you get paid for, after all.
Peter and Matt never really got on, did they? I think Peter killed Johnny. And you and your brother were appalled because you never signed up for murder. And Cornish, for all he was a corrupt copper, well, he didn't want to know about murder either. So you had a row with your husband and you went off with Cornish. But your brother, he was so angry about Johnny's death that he couldn't leave it alone. Maybe even threatened to tell us what had happened. Whatever he said. Your husband went to Matt's surgery and killed him.
I don't believe you.
Got your brother very drunk. He forced Matt to swallow a cocktail of drugs. Not a pleasant way to go. Whiskey dribbled down his shirt front. Half-dissolved tablets in his mouth, down his throat, choking on them. Struggling. Your husband put his hands either side of his neck to force him back into a sitting position. And when your brother was too drunk to fight anymore, Peter poured formaldehyde down his throat. Embalming fluid. The brother you loved.
My husband killed Johnny Jay.
Mrs. Faulkner.
Johnny knew nothing about the crystal meth, but he found a notebook my idiot husband had kept. Consignments, the dates, everything. Johnny didn't know what the stuff was, but he knew it had to be drugs.
And the dates would tally with Liam's trips out of the country.
Johnny was threatening to go to the police. He turned to go, and my husband hit him hard.
That really is enough, Mrs. Faulkner.
Hit him with...
a stone doorstop thing.
And then you had the brilliant idea to switch the bodies.
They did that together, Matt and Peter. Peter was supposed to bury the other body. But he's so useless, he couldn't even do that properly. Said he'd been interrupted.
The fly tippers.
And then he tried to kill Ruth, in case Liam had told her something. And that was my fault too. I told him that Liam was waiting to talk to you. So much of this is my fault.
Young kids play on a recreation ground. Some hang on to a rotating mushroom-shaped frame and others are pushed on the swings. Emma sits on a bench, blank-faced, as she watches the children play. She watches a little girl wearing jeans and a pink and grey top run across the rec ground. Peter Faulkner, without a solicitor, sits in the interview room, facing Lewis and Gray.
When Johnny realised his son had been used to smuggle drugs, he went mad. Threatened to go to the police. He was raging. So I shut him up. No one else would. But of course that was wrong. According to the great humanitarian Matt Whitby. And when you found the other body and came sniffing around, he wouldn't shut up. Thug, bully boy, psycho. He threatened to feed me to the wolves. You lot. I just wanted to kill him. So I did.
You killed Johnny Jay and Matt Whitby.
Yep.
because they threatened your drug smuggling operation?
Yep.
And Brian Miller's role?
He embalmed the bodies, packed them with the drugs, then got them out again this end.
While you sat back and raked in the cash.
I financed the thing, didn't I? That was my bit.
Crystal meth, made in Eastern Europe, supplied to the holiday hotspots.
One body packed with 2 kilos could net us 80,000 quid. How long would it take you to earn that?
And Cornish, how did he fit into this?
The wife's little bit of rough.
Lewis nods faintly. Liam, wearing a black dressing gown, sits on a bench beside a river in the hospital grounds. He wears earphones. A nurse and a visitor walk past, supporting a patient between them. Lewis walks towards the bench, and Liam looks round at him. They sit together on the bench.
Told Dr. Whitby I'd seen someone unloading something at Miller's.
Did you see who it was?
Just a van. Shadows. Thought it might have been a body, but it was so odd. And then you came around asking questions and I didn't know what to do.
If in doubt, tell the police.
I was going to. Dr. Whitby said Dad was involved. Up to his neck in a drugs racket.
Your dad didn't do anything wrong, Liam. He died because he cared about you.
Liam stares ahead, his lip trembling. Lewis and Gray walk through a gateway as a taxi pulls up in front of them. The back window is open and Cornish sits in the back seat.
A drink, for old time's sake.
There isn't a spoon long enough.
The supping with the devil. Very good, Robbie. Almost witty.
You do know that from now on, everybody in the force will be on your back.
You'll have to find me first. See ya.
The cab drives on.
Battle between an owl and a ferret. Which one would win?
I'm allergic to fur, sir. And feather.
Lewis smiles.
You did okay in spite of it.
So, who would win, sir?
The one with the dull car, the cheap shoes, and the raging thirst.
Lewis saunters off with his hands in his pockets. Later in the pub, Lewis brings a red wine and a pint of bitter over to a table where Innocent is sitting. She takes the wine.
Cheers.
Oh, here is the boy, wonder.
I thought you had another 3 days, James.
I knew he'd be poured out of his skull without it.
Not far wrong, sir.
Here, I'll get you a drink.
No, you.
Sit down.
Hathaway sits in front of Innocent.
Well, I've enjoyed being the inspector's sidekick. Been all right, hasn't it? Don't listen to anything he says. He's been a lonely little soul without you.
She looks round to see Hobson kissing Lewis.
I've been thinking about doing that all day.
Same here.
They kiss again. Then Lewis directs Hobson's attention towards Innocent, staring at them.
Evening.
James, gosh, you're sunburnt.
Thank you.
I'll get the drinks in.
No, I'll get them.
No, we'll both get them. You can have that one.
Hathaway looks down at the pint of bitter.
How long?
I turn my back for 5 minutes.
At the bar, Lewis and Hobson chuckle. Gray walks out of the quad with Liam and Ruth.
It was good of you, but we could have got a taxi.
You'll have a load of stuff to sort out with the coroner in the next few days. Take my advice. If anyone holds out a helping hand, grab it.
My dad died suddenly too. I was 16. Police and coroners and all that.
Did someone hold out a hand to you?
Yes. A policeman. A Geordie.
Is that why you became a police officer?
Yeah. He doesn't remember it. I'll never forget.
Gray smiles and nods at them and they part company. Gray walking back through the gateway and Liam and Ruth strolling along a path. Lewis and Hobson come out of the pub. still chuckling to each other. They walk down the street, up a short flight of stone steps, and through a gateway. As they walk, Lewis puts his arm around her shoulder. She looks up at him and smiles, and he grins. ITFC audio description.